greet somebody quickly. There's a few new faces. If you want to make them feel welcome quickly. Comfortable of you for the next 2 hours. Next week we will be attending one of the churches in Katima. We've already been prepared. The service starts 9 and it finishes about 1 o'clock. Okay, so it's one of those 4-hour services. So we've already prepared the mission team. Guys telling them it's not that normal length of service we have. And It's interesting. They've asked me to minister there as well, and they told me I've got 20 minutes. So 20 minutes within 4 hours, so you wonder how they're going to fill up the rest. But it's just amazing when you attend some of these services. And last year when we were in Zambia as well, it was just it's testimonies, and then we're singing, and then it's Bible school, and then we're going to the Word again, and then it's never a dull moment there. Anyway, there's they had these lounge chairs at the front end, and they ask you to sit there, and the whole congregation look at you, and you feel like, can I just hide somewhere? Nevertheless, but we're leaving on this Friday, and then we'll be away for 10 days. So I want to ask you that you pray for us. It's from the 1st to the 10th of May, when we will be in Katima. This is our first one, first mission outreach that we have there, towards there. So we want to ask you that you please pray for us. This is important for relationship, where God is taking us. And so we're looking forward to that. And it's 8 of us going, like I said, on Friday. I just have to determine where I have to stand. In the first service, I couldn't stand here. There was so much feedback. Okay. I haven't got the privilege to use that this morning. So I'll just take my Bible. If you've got your Bibles, we can Second Kings 7, and by the way, I've got some posters there at the back. Some of you, if you've got about the Awaken and Men's Camp, if you want some of that and you want to put it up somewhere at the business or somewhere in town where you know about someone, please take one. Feel free to take one for that. For those two events taking place, harvest events. We moved in December to a new house, and by God's grace, He was very good to us. But that was our 10th time in our 10 years that we've been married. So you can add up that it's more or less a year, every year we move. Well, I must admit that the last 4 years.
Don't go anywhere now.
No. We actually moved 3 times in Swakop as well. So that's including, not just from town, from house to house. That's without adding the times before we met, me and my wife. But nevertheless, so we moved in December to a new house. And it was I wouldn't say a traumatic experience. But it's he's nodding his head. He knows. It's an interesting experience. Anyway. But this time it was kind of more challenging than all the previous times. I don't know whether it's because I had more children and all the stuff that's coming with it, but it must be yes. I learned a lesson. And anyway, too many women listen to that. That's a lady that said that. Luckily not the man, otherwise we'll be in trouble. Nevertheless, they gather so much more, us as men. That's why I use the comparison with Awaken and the Men's Camp. In the tents, you can look at the tents and you'll see what I mean. But anyway, we moved in December, and then it took us a little bit longer to settle in than all the previous times. You know, I must admit, it took us a few more days and a few more weeks to settle in. Still at this time, I still feel, I don't know if I'm really settled in. But anyway, long story short, about 2 weeks ago, I had one of the agents, estate agents, calling me, and she says to me, do you live in Acacia Street? I thought, why are you asking me this? She said, I said, yes. She said, you don't want to sell your house, maybe. I thought, no. I just love my comfort right now. And then I thought for a moment, no, maybe I said too quickly and too soon, no. And then I thought, I'd add it to this. I said, well, if the price is right, darling. Anyway, I don't know what it is with us as human beings and our comfort. But I must admit, I love it now that everything is a bit more settled down and I know where all my braai tools are and my wood is. I even have, if you get to my home, you'll see I've got display wood as well. I spoke to Daryl the other day. I said, Daryl, I want to get specific wood so that I put it underneath there. This display wood. It's beautiful wood. But you're not allowed to put that in the fire. It's just so that it looks cool. Anyway, but we love our comfort. We love getting down to that place where we settle in. We know where everything is. Everything is packed out. And then we want to just, this was dramatic, whatever. I don't know what it is with us as human beings. Why do we always go for that? Even in church.
We function in structure.
Or maybe we want to control the outcome as much as possible so that it would be favorable to us. I mean, come on, you gotta agree with that. We want to influence the outcome or the situation so that when there's an outcome, it's positive and we enjoy it. I mean, in church, our work environment, all of that is daily like that. But you know what? It's not different. It wasn't different in the Bible. This problem we have with our comfort is been like that for years and years and years. And sometimes we settle down and we love those places and we camp. And probably you heard a lot of sermons about do not camp. I love camping. We'll get back to camping a little bit later maybe. There's a story in 2 Kings 7, and I will give you some background before we pick it up from verse 1, where there's a famine in the land, and where the city that's been surrounded by the king Ben-Hadad, or Hadad, and the Syrians. Now, what happened back then is in those days they would surround the city. And the city had walls, so the people felt, well, they're safe in the city, but the fields and everything, their supplies were outside the city. So they had to go outside and then get their food, etc. So what the people would do, they would surround the city with their army, and then they just sit there and camp there. And literally wait for them to come out there, or for the situation to become so desperate that somebody will just do something stupid and open the gate or something. And to make it even worse, it was a famine, so it wasn't that there was plenty available. Even in the city, there wasn't a lot available. It went to that degree that, and thank God you've never been so hungry, that they started selling a donkey's head and dove's dung. Lucas, you ever thought about that recipe? Donkey's head and dove dung. What you can do with that. But nevertheless, it went even worse than that. Two ladies, now you have to think about this. Two ladies agreed. The one said to the other, listen, the situation is desperate. Let's eat your child today. Then once we finish that, or him, her, then we'll eat mine. And it actually happened. They killed the child, and they ate the child, and then when he got to the turn of the other lady, she refused. She said, well, I'm not going to do that, my child. So there's this dispute. Now, we've never been in such desperate situations, but I just want to sketch the background so that you can see we have a real bad situation here. If you've been that hungry, you're willing to go against nature to kill your own children, to eat that to stay alive. This is a bad situation. Would you agree with me? Now, verse 1, let's carry on from there. Chapter 7. We've got a bad, bad situation. But Elijah said, hear the word of the Lord. Thus says the Lord. Now, in the midst of this all, Elijah comes here, the prophet. Tomorrow, not maybe, not God, we trust you. Not, if it's the Lord's will. No. Tomorrow, in the midst of this, about this time, a sea of fine flour shall be sold for a shekel and two... How do we pronounce that word? see of barley for a shekel, save myself, at the gate of Samaria. Then the captain on whose hand the king leaned said to the man of God, if the Lord himself should make windows in heaven, could this thing be? Let's just stop there for a moment. Elijah says to them, tomorrow. I had a sermon about this tomorrow. Have you ever received a word from God that's so out of time, that is so in the opposite of where you are, that you would probably think, God, it can't be tomorrow? Lately I had that, when God just, he breaks through and he says to you, this and this will happen. You think for a moment, wow, did I just miss it here? This is just so intense. This is just so amazing. This is just so beyond the current situation that I cannot see how it can happen. Sometimes God will give you a promise in the midst of your adversity, in the midst of the situation being the opposite. That is so much the opposite that you almost think, well, maybe daydreaming, or I'm getting mad, or I don't know, or I'm hearing my own voice here. But look at verse 2. He says, then the captain on whose hand the king leaned said to the man of God, and he said, if the Lord himself should make windows in heaven, could this thing be? But he said, you shall see it with your own eyes, but you shall not eat of it. Isn't it interesting then when God gives us promises? We have these people around us sometimes just to remind us, come on guys, just calm down. I know you want to trust God, but come on, be realistic. Just look at the natural, come on. I know you trust God for that, but let me just remind you that we still live on earth. Let me just remind you that you're just aiming way too far. Make sure you surround yourself with the right people that can help you see what God tells you or drops the promise inside of you. And anyway, now verse 3. This is where the story gets very, very interesting. Now there were four men who were lepers at the entrance of the gate. Four men who were lepers. And you'll see why I say this. I love the way God writes his stories. It doesn't say there, now there were four musketeers. There were four warriors. There were four brave men of David. There were four soldiers. No, four lepers. I've got a photo. Oh, they've got it up there. You're ahead of me. You can Google that for yourself. I tried to save, I didn't know how many children we will have, because I can go even worse than that. That's kind of moderate, the guy with the bandage that's got leprosy. But if you go and Google and you Google leprosy or man with leprosy, you'll see it's not a beautiful picture. You wouldn't have fingers sometimes. The people just have legs of stompies. No toes. I don't know, Mark can tell us more about, but let's save that. And then we've got some guys in the first service said that is a blue bull, but that was, the pictures were prepared before the game of last night. So anyway, God chose four lepers, four nobodies. You know what? They're not allowed in the city because they stink. You're filthy. It's contagious. Don't touch me. Just stay outside. But God's about to do something here with four men, four nobodies, four people that the society didn't want. God is about to use them mightily. So look at this. They're having a conversation. Now there were four men who were lepers at the entrance of the gate. And they said to one another, why are we sitting here until we die? If we say, let us enter the city, the famine is in the city, and we shall die there. And if we sit here, we die also. So now come on, let us go over to the camp of the Syrians. If they spare our lives, we shall live. And if they kill us, we shall but die. Four men having a conversation. Thank God they agreed. Normally we argue, and within the four, two start the church and the other one leave the church and the other one. Anyway, they agreed by God's grace. Make sure you've got the right friends around you. There's somebody sitting here this morning, you're walking towards the famine instead of to the solution this morning. But it's important when we are in a situation where the situation is so desperate that you have the right people around you that you can agree to to carry on walking in the right direction. In this case, by God's grace, they were very brave. Now, think for a moment. They have this conversation. Maybe they had nothing to lose. You can think for a moment. Well, if we stay here, we have a problem. We're going to die because there's no food. They wouldn't allow us in the city. But if we manage to get in, there's no food. If we go over there, there's a problem. The army is over there. But these people had one thing. They had a desire to live. Their desire to live was so great that they were willing to move out of that safe zone. Now I want to ask you, where's your safe zone this morning, spiritually speaking? See, sometimes we can sit in that safe zone so much, enjoy the temperature of that safe zone so much, and we predict the outcome, and we like the outcome, and all of that. But I've discovered on the long run that the safe zone is not necessarily beneficial for me. If I stay there long enough, I might starve to death spiritually if I sit there. And sometimes we have to, I want to say, push ourselves or challenge ourselves just to get outside that place and have this argument maybe with ourselves. And make sure that you do not argue yourself out of the will of God. You know when God sometimes speaks to us and he says, listen, I want you to do this. And you think, oh. And then you start arguing. And you argue. And you justify yourself. And then eventually you go over into action. It is important that we do not argue ourselves out of the will of God and rather just be obedient. And then I almost want to say, deal with the consequences later rather than think too long or have this conversation too long. Now, I remember in 2003, back then, I had a bright future. But the riskiest thing I've ever done in my life up to that time was resigning my job and going to London, where I had no security, where I had nobody telling me that this and this will happen. When you arrive there, you've got this job and all of that. That time I was quite content where I was, I must admit. I wanted to go into full-time ministry. I had my plans, and I think I shared that with you another day. But at that time, I just heard the Lord saying, pack up and go. Sure. He doesn't give you a 10-point plan, so when you arrive there, this and this will happen, and you'll stay there. And then you'll have, on the Monday morning, an interview, and you'll get the job, and then it's all right. I mean, if God gives us those instructions, all those, so easy to walk in faith. Yeah? So easy to leave that safe zone. I remember back then, and I prayed, I said, God, I just need confirmation. And God gave me confirmation that it is Him that's speaking. Because I thought, the thought I just got, or the word I heard is so bizarre. It so doesn't add up. It doesn't make sense. I need confirmation for this one. Because if I'm about to resign my job, God, I don't know, it's only you that need to back me up here. And then I remembered I sat down with my manager back then and I had this conversation. I said, God, I don't know what to tell him. I can't tell him that I've got this great job on that side. He'll think I'm mad. So I'll have to be spiritual about this. I have to tell him God told me. But anyway, I told him that and I think he probably thought at that time, you know, you're mad. Why are you doing something like that? And then I must admit, I thought, okay, if God calls me, God will provide. We all have that saying, eh? And God will bring me to that place. And God did provide, but not according to how I thought He would provide, I must admit. I got there, and I had my plans, and you know, back then I was, I don't want to brag, but what I say is God was good to me at that stage in my career. In a young age, this happened in my life, and I knew it was the hand of God upon my life. So I thought, I'll just progress from there. I'll just pick up from where I left, and then I'll go into the financial sector again. And for 6 months, no door open. And all they tell me is, well, listen, we can't help you. We can't employ you. You haven't got UK experience. I thought, oh, how can I get UK experience if you never give me a chance? Anyway, so after a while, you discover, well, maybe God is trying to say something here to me. Maybe I should just walk away from that. Anyway, a long story short, all I can say to you, the first 6 months and even longer than that, God started with a new process in my life, breaking down the old me. And even though I thought, and I was serving Him, I loved Him, all of that. God had to start something all over. But it was a humiliating process, and that's why I almost joke about if you want to sit on the throne, you've got to clean the throne. That's where God literally took me, cleaning the throne, and I want to say do building and construction and underground, and you can call all that. But at the end of the day, God had to start with something new. But I had to leave my safe zone. I had to get out of that place. And for them, it was that the city gates, where they sat down, where they could just talk to one another, cry on each other's shoulder. And then, well, I don't know how long we're going to last, but let's just cry together. And then we're all in this. But at one stage in their life, they reached such a desperate place that they're so desperate to live that they were willing to move out of this safe zone. And some of us, we're so content with that safe zone in our lives, spiritually speaking, that you are never willing to move outside that place where you're so out of control, where you cannot predict the outcome, where you do not know what is coming next. And God is calling you out of that place because you will starve to death in that place, spiritually speaking, if you do not move out of that place. And God wants us to move out of that place, but it's not nice. I'm going to say to you, that's not nice. Walking in faith is not, I don't want to say not nice, but it's not nice. You know, you hear what I say? It's difficult. That's why God says it pleases me when you walk in faith, when you step out of that comfort place. Because we like the place. I mean, I like the temperature over there. I like the people over there. I like my friends over there. But step out. You see, when we step out, it's scary. It's risky. And look at this. You see, what I've discovered in that time when I was there, over time, and I had to do that first before I could discover that the pain of staying becomes greater than pain of moving. I can stay there and stay there, but eventually I'll discover that pain becomes greater than the pain of moving. And I'm telling myself, I'm convincing myself, I can't do this, it'll cost me too much. But one day we look back and we reflect upon our lives and we think, God, if I only stepped outside that zone, if I only allowed you just to back me up for a moment. Those four men, I mean, this story is, I love this story. And this week as I was just reading this, I never saw it like that. It's just so beautiful. You know, Luke 9 verse 51 says, when Jesus approached Jerusalem, or the time drawn near for Jesus to draw near to, or to came to Jerusalem for where he was called to, he set his head as flint. Some translations say, he was so determined. He knew what he wanted to do. And sometimes in life, the only thing that will get you out of that safe zone is an awareness of your spiritual assignment and to live according to that. To say, God, I can't camp there. I can't sit there. I know why I'm here, and I got to move on. Now my question to us this morning is, do you know your spiritual assignment? I didn't ask, do you know what occupation you should do or what job you should take? I'm asking you, because your job or your occupation, it will just take you to where God wants you, or God uses that. But if you would die today, or I would die today, which spiritual assignment would be unfinished? Or am I just living life in that safe zone? So God, if I can just enjoy this place, I'll be happy. You see, the Bible is full of examples. And I think Moses and the people of Israel are, to me, some of the best examples. They in Egypt, they complain about that place. They don't want to be there. But once they're out of that place, they also complain. We saw that the other day. When they're in the desert, then they start complaining, really. If we could only go back to that place. If we can only, Moses, it's your fault. If we can only go back to Egypt, then we can eat all the leeks and the onions or what, and the garlic and all that. I almost said grasshoppers. We'll eat that again. Now we have to eat. Now we have to eat kwartels and brood eat. Thought about Sarah and Abram. Abram, are we camping again tonight? Oh, come on, Abram. Can we just get a house? No, Sarah, we got to move on. God has called us to further. Think about, ladies, I actually forgot to mention that in the first service, but think about a lady that would have complained about camping. It must have been Sarah. Come on, Abram, when will this end? When will we have a nice house? No, Sarah, God is moving us. I know it's not nice. I don't know. I know you don't like it, all of that. But, and then the Son of Man doesn't even have a place for his head to rest. I thought about Jesus that never rested. I think Jesus was just so, that's my perception and how I read the Bible, is that he was just so busy. Oh, guys, we've got a minister here, but we've got to move on. The Bible says continuously they were moving from town to town. He could have set up a ministry in Jerusalem. And they said, this is my ministry. It's a nice place. Let all the people come to Jerusalem, where they come and bring the offerings, all of that. But Jesus chose to move outside that comfort zone, continuously moving, outside that place where the disciples or some of us sometimes feel comfortable. Verse 4. Now these four men, the four lepers, they had a conversation. Listen to verse 4. If we say, let us enter the city, the famine is in the city, and we shall die there. And if we sit here, we shall die also. So what's happening here? They're having a business, in business terms, they're having a risk analysis. They're counting the cost. Now they're having, you know, we can sit here. What are the pros and cons of sitting here? And then what are the pros and cons of moving? And we have many such meetings sometimes in life. And we think about our own lives sometimes. What if I do this? This and this and this will happen. And this and this and this could happen. Sometimes we have so many risk analysis, but we're never willing just to move past that, I want to say. And what made them so peculiar, or what God were able to use them, is because they were willing to take the risk. We have a lot of good risk analysts. What's it? Analysts. That's the word. Analyst. Forgive me for that English word. That wasn't. That's in the Van Rooyen dictionary. Okay. Analysts. There are a lot of them. We analyze everything. We know all the outcome. And sometimes I'm surrounded by people like that. And let me just say it with all due respect. We need to listen and we need to get input from one another. Okay? Wisdom. But sometimes you got to listen with your spiritual ears. Not just with a natural ear. Because in the natural, you look at the things, the situation was pretty much very bad. And then Elijah comes with this massive word and the opposite. There's basically just nothing that proves it. And sometimes the Bible says in 1 Corinthians 2 verse 14 that the natural man does not receive the things of the Spirit of God because he cannot discern it. So sometimes we need to listen with our spiritual man and say, God, right now, I know the situation is quite the opposite. I know all the odds are against me, but I've got to trust this voice inside of me to step outside the safe zone, to take this risk, although I've analyzed that and although the Bible tells us count the cost. But are you willing, after you counted the cost, to pay the price? And I think this is where it separates a lot of us. The brave from the safe players, or what we call them. I think a lot of us can count the cost. Do you agree with me? A lot of us in the kingdom can count the cost. But not everyone is willing to pay the price. These men, lepers. Four lepers said, well, listen, we've got nothing to lose. I'm going to take the chance. There are two things that were against them. First of all, there's four against thousands. So they must have been half mad or brave or stupid. I don't know. And their physical condition wasn't that great as well. And now they decide to move outside that safe zone towards the camp of the Syrians. I wish I could just see this. I wish I could just experience what they experienced while they were actually walking towards the Syrian camp. I thought, shall we turn around now? Did we hear right? Did we hear God? Is this, well, the Bible doesn't say God told them. But anyway, they probably had some conversation going on in the midst. You see, they had nothing to lose, we would say probably. That's fine, they had nothing to lose. But maybe God needs to bring you to that place where you have nothing to lose, where you become so desperate. So God, I couldn't care less now. I need to get to that place. Sometimes everything is just so predictable, so nice, that I don't need God in my life. And Elijah, to me, what happened to him, we have a famine here, and God says to Elijah, Elijah, go back to the brook of Kidron. I'll supply, and I'll look after you there. So he goes back to the brook of Kidron, and then God sends crows to bring him meat and bread, and he drinks water from that brook up to a certain point. Then the Bible says, and the crows stop bringing bread and meat. And I want to say to you this morning, sometimes God needs to shoot your bird and stop the river so that you become more desperate for him. Say, God, I'll move outside this place. You see, because Elijah could look at the river, he could look at the crow and say, well, this is my provision. God says, well, let me just shoot the bird so you can just remember, I'm the one providing. Because it's not your job that provides. He's just the channel. And God can end that tomorrow. And you're back again on your knees. And say, God, wow. And you can think you're so clever and you worked your way up. But like the Bible says, your health can be taken away from you in a moment. And you're back on your knees and say, God. See, we need to be so desperate sometimes for God to move in our lives. And so that God will just, I want to say, back us up. Jesus goes back to heaven. Look at this. Acts 1 verse 11, I think. The Bible says, when Jesus went up into heaven, was taken up by a cloud. Could you think for a moment what it looked like? With all the, they've never seen somebody riding in a cloud. I mean, I thought the disciples probably stood there. Wow. Wow, man. Jesus has gone up. But then after a while, they realized there's problems here. Jesus is gone now. This is cool. Jesus in the clouds, but we have problems. It's like Jesus was the main man. We're around Jesus. It's almost like, I want to say Mugabe and his men, but it's a bad comparison. But I think the day when Mugabe dies, his men around him is going to run around and say, well, we've got problems. But anyway, they thought, well, Jesus is gone now. We have problems. Are they coming for us now? We kind of felt safe around Jesus because he's the miracle maker. He's the one that's doing it. I don't want to say the tricks, but he's doing the things. Now suddenly we are on our own. And they stood there, and the Bible says they were gazing into heaven. And I thought it's like last night we had a, what's his, Chinese lanterns. We lit one of them. And we almost stood like that as well for a long while. And later on, you think, oh, can't see it anymore, but you stand like that. And I think they stood there for quite a while, because the Bible said, the angel came and said, why are you gazing into heaven? I found in church as well, we have stargazers, a lot of them. They know about every star, every dream, every demon. They analyze every risk. They know about everything. But when it gets to the actual, okay, stop looking now. Just do the job. And I think they had to be reminded, the disciples. Listen, guys, I know this is pretty much awesome. Jesus just left and you don't know where you should go or what you should do, but take your eyes off there and just get it back here and do the job. And take the risk and get out of your safe zone. Because I know you were very safe when Jesus was around you, but now you're on your own. Face the music. The people is coming your way. And they're going to prosecute you. So get out of your safe zone and spread the news. And actually, the whole story about Jerusalem in 70 AD, how they become so comfortable, church, that God had to send persecution. Because sometimes we become so comfortable that God have to, it's almost, and I saw this picture in my mind, we're like a block of ice, you know. I sit here, like Lot's wife. Pillar of salt. Taste like that. Do that. If you taste salt, that's a problem. That means you like Lot's wife, huh? If you taste salt, that's a sign that you're stagnating. But anyway, we're like a block of ice. And sometimes God needs to apply some heat and that ice so that it will melt, so that he can use you. So that the temperature can change around you, so that you can be favorable, or he can use you somewhere out there. You see, it's not the big church that's dangerous. Or it's not the small church that's dangerous this morning. It's the church that's willing to act and say, we're going to move. We see a need, we're going to respond to that. We're going to do something about this. We haven't got the resources, but we're not yet to do a risk analysis. Well, we've done the risk analysis and we found out we're outnumbered. Okay. So are we going to do something about that? No, I don't know. Sometimes the need is just so overwhelming and we will be outnumbered. So either we're going to sit there and say, well, I can't make a difference because it's just too much that I have to do. Or I can start with the one or the little bit that I can give. Because too many of us want to change the whole picture and we can't change something about it. We thought, well, I haven't got the capacity and what. And we never get outside that place, never outside the safe zone, never after we've counted the cost, never after we've analyzed the risk. We do not want to take the risk. And these four men, oh man, I love it. They decided we're running towards the Syrians. Or maybe they didn't run. Maybe they actually went. Now, look at this. I think it's verse 8. I'll show you. This is priceless. For the Lord, this is in verse 5. So they rose at twilight to go to the camp of the Syrians. But when they came to the edge of the camp. Now, the Syrians were out there. We've got the city here. So they are crawling, leopard crawling. I don't know how they got to this camp. And then they reached that place, which I call the place of no return, on the edge of the camp. If they ever thought, well, if we have to turn around now, we got to run now back to the city because we have problems. Or we can just cross this place, the edge of, because if we set foot in this camp, we have problems. There's something about crossing that place of no return. When you cross that place, you know you have to fight till you die. Because I can't run back now. And I thought they had this conversation. We're gonna go in and we say goodbye to one another. And one for all and all for one. How does the musketeers? And we're gonna go in there and get some food. And it went even further. The Bible says that when they went into the camp, so everything's quiet. Now, if I was them, I would have thought, well, here's a trap, there's a trap. Something is not right here. It can't be true. Because the Bible doesn't say that they knew what happened. So they didn't know the whole situation. They've got this camp, empty camp. I would have thought, they're waiting for us in the tents. When we step in, they're going to pop out of the tents and surround us and kill us. But they went even further and they were braver than that. They went into the tents. And this is what I want you to see. Where is it? Verse 9, I think. For the Lord had made the army. Okay, sorry, this is verse 6. Let me just go around. And when these lepers came to the edge of the camp, they went into a tent and ate and drank. And they carried off silver and gold and clothing and went and hid them. You see, something about crossing that place of no return. When we cross that place of no return, God changed the scenery. Up to then, outside the camp, they were still in famine. They still had a desperate need. But once they were willing to step over that boundary, God suddenly changed their perception. There's an abundance here. Only if you're willing to step into that. They didn't see that back when they were at the gates. And I guess, and I'll bet you this morning, if we're allowed to do that, that you wouldn't know either until you step outside that. God reserves that for all of us that's willing to go to war. Tell me your war story. Or have you got a war story this morning? Tell me, show me your scars, because the battle belongs, or the victory belongs to those of us that's willing to say, we're going to war. We're going to go there all the way, and God, if I get killed, so be it. But I'm willing to go out there, because I believe, Lord, you laid it upon my heart to do something about this need. And God used 4 lepers. He didn't use 4 warriors. I believe God could have used anybody else, but he used 4 willing people. 4 outcasts, 4 nobodies. He could have used anybody in the city. But these 4 guys were willing to move outside that place. And they become that link to the city. Because the Bible says here, look at this. Where is it? So they came and called. No, sorry. Verse 9, yes. Then they said to one another, we are not doing right. This day is a day of good news. We are not doing right. This day is a day of good news. They're in the camp and they enjoy themselves. Can you think about it? They're eating. Man, I haven't had such a meal in a long time. Until a time when they reach, when they so, with all due respect, so duck eat. That they realize, man, we can't just eat and enjoy it for ourselves. This is not right. There's a city down there or back there that's busy dying. We got to go back and tell them there's food here. And I couldn't help to think about this. How often we come to church, how often we're exposed to environment of life, and we eat. Oh, I love this. I worship. Oh, bless me with this word. Spiritually fed. Where you sometimes have to remind yourself, this is not right. I can't just enjoy this. There's a city dying there. I got to go back and tell them there's food here. There's a friend out there. I got to come back, bring him back next Sunday and tell him there's food. The solution is here. Your spiritual survival is here. It's not out there. You think you're okay. And they realized that. And I know maybe we do not agree with that, but that took them to that place and God used that. And those 4 lepers, those 4 nobodies to save a nation. Only because they were willing to move. To see, guys, we've got nothing to lose. If we sit here, we're going to starve.
So we counted the cost, we're going to move. And once we reach that place, there's no place of turning around. And then we're just going to cross that barrier and we're going to fight till we die. Can I have some music here? You see, if you decide this morning, if you decide to move, say, God, I'm willing. Do you know what God can do with a willing man, with a willing woman this morning? If you only start taking one step, you multiply the sound of your steps so that the enemy starts running. But we think, oh, we've got to be a big group. There are only four people, four men. God said, use the four men, the sound of their steps. It's not a lot of noise, but just four men saying, we're moving. God says, I can use that. I can add up to that. I can multiply that. Now think about that for a moment. If this church can start doing that, say, God, we're willing to move. I saw a need there. I feel inadequate, but God, I'm going to act upon that. I'm just going to do something about it. I pray, God, that we'll get to that place where we're so out of control, in the sense that people just respond to a need when they see a need. They don't even ask. They just act. They just like it. Just do it. Without asking me, without asking, because they know God laid it upon their hearts. I'll end with a story. I told the guys in the intercession the other day. My wife and I was driving the other day past that Hentys Road. You go past the DRC. If you're a visitor, drive down there, and then you'll see. As you're driving down there, on this side, on the side of the desert, I want to say, there's so many plastic bags and rubbish. I mean, you can't miss it. It's really, it's all over the place. Now we're having this conversation. I said, oh, this is terrible. Look at the condition of this. Then I remembered, I said to her, but I'm not picking up this mess. These people, you know what? I can't believe they mess, such a mess like that and all of that. And I thought, never will I pick up this picture, the papers and all of that rubbish. So anyway, probably two weeks, I don't know, I can't remember exactly, went by, and then Yuri called me. He says, I can come over for coffee quickly. So he brought his book. They started this forward ministry. You all know this forward ministry. He's got that book. When he's got the book with him, you have to run away. He said, listen, I don't know about you, but I've been to the municipality, and I told them on our behalf that we're going to clean up the DRC. I said, God, you've got a sense of humor to humble us. And then I thought, okay, I've got to be excited. But anyway, I had this conversation in myself. I said, God, why do I have to pick up their mess? I was just asking God. I said, God, why do I have to pick up the mess of somebody else that's putting all that nonsense stuff out there? And it is as if I heard the God or the Lord saying to me, well, I picked up your mess. I said, yes, Lord. What will happen to us as a church if we start changing the perception, our views? Get out of that place of comfort. Say, God, I'll pick up the mess. I know it's not my mess. And probably I don't want to get my hands dirty with this nonsense, this mess. But God, you picked up my mess. I'll pick up the mess. This is the mess of others. Let's close our eyes. Jesus. Okay. Maybe you're here this morning, your life is, at the moment, it feels like a mess. God is about to pick it up. God is about to do the same that He did for me. He picked up my mess. He set me free and He said, you are free. And He's still willing to pick up your mess this morning. While nobody is looking around, and you feel that your life is just so out of control that it feels like a mess at this moment. God says, I'm willing to pick up that mess this morning. While nobody is looking around, just to give me indication, say, that's me. I need that prayer. I need God to pick up my mess right now. Maybe you're here this morning, God is talking to you, moving out of that place of safety. You see that. I'm not going to call you to the front, it's fine. I just want you to admit to that place. Just to admit and say, God, I see I see a safe zone in my life. And I know, Lord, you're challenging me. And I know, Lord, I'm afraid. Lord, I know I've been counting this cost for a while now, but Lord, I'm just not willing. But Lord, I ask you, help me today to step outside that. If that's you, just to give me indication, say that's me. I need that prayer. I need to step outside that place. Thank you, Jesus. Because God can change a nation. He can use four lepers. How much more can he use us this morning? Just saying, God, we're willing. And Lord, we thank you this morning, Lord, that we can just stand before you. In a way, Lord, we're just like these lepers, Lord. We're nobodies. Lord, you picked us up. You picked our mess up, Lord. And Lord, you call us to go and pick up the mess of others. And to tell them, Lord, there's life on the other side. There's an abundance of food. Lord, I pray for every one of us this morning that realize, Lord, we're in a safe zone. I pray, Lord, that you'll open our eyes to see the abundance that's waiting on the other side. Lord, I pray that you grant us the grace this morning to run towards those places in our lives, Lord. To those places that you call us, Lord. To move outside that safe place, outside that safe zone, Lord. To cross the place of no return and to say, God, you need to back me up, Lord. Because if you're not coming through, Lord. And Father, I thank you that you are the same God that still show yourself strong on behalf of those whose hearts are loyal to you according to your word. And Lord, I pray for everyone this morning that says, Lord, my heart is loyal to you, Lord. I want to follow your ways. I want to step outside that place. I want to move. I want to be brave this morning. I want to have a war story. I want to step out there and say, Jesus, I'm with you this morning, Lord, and I'm willing to step out. Grant us the grace for that, Lord. Let your kingdom come, Lord, in this nation. I pray, Lord, that we will not be in a spiritual famine, but, Lord, that we will have an abundance in this nation, spiritually speaking, Lord. That other nations will come to us because they hear about a God that is good, about a God that is feeding us, a God that is blessing us. And we thank you for our government. We thank you for every form where, Lord, where your hand is, and for every person, every form of authority, Lord. We can see your hand moving upon this nation. And, Lord, we thank you for that. We bless our president. We bless every minister. We bless everyone, Lord, that is submitting to you this morning and say, God, have your way in our lives. May we be a bread basket to the nations, Lord. May they run to this nation. May they flock to this nation where there's a famine in the rest of Africa. Lord, I thank you that it will not be here, that we can proclaim it over this nation, over this town this morning, Lord, where people will run to and ask for bread, for living bread and living water this morning, Lord. Make us willing. Jesus. Amen. Amen. The Lord bless you. Have a wonderful Sunday. If you are in need of